then this will be the Candlestick Park Pour. And just a little bit of refresher, you know, we've been talking about this candlestick, but, well, between the two olive trees, and we said those two trees were the kingdom and the priesthood, and they pour the golden oil into the... I'm gonna do something here. I know in our King James it's translated as candlestick, but really it's a lampstand. And there is kind of a difference, because a candle will go out and a lamp won't. And it's just, I know it's just a small detail, I'm just going to throw it out there, but it was called a lampstand. It's translated over as candlestick, but it's a, you know, anytime you get a candle, as soon as you run out, you got to go get another one. But this golden oil pulls into this thing and it don't ever go out. So I just wanted to throw that out there. That's small potatoes. But we're going to look at that lampstand a little bit closer tonight. But I'm going to go back to the scripture here in Exodus 25:31, just the first part of it. And thou shalt make a candlestick of pure gold. And I'm kind of looking at this term, and thou shalt make. And I know the stuff I've got to go over tonight may sound controversial, like that would be the first thing that I've ever went over is controversial. But I hope it'll challenge us. But you have to admit, I think we all do, there's a need for a new spiritual awareness. I won't say position, because we're already seated with Him in heavenly places. But there has to be a new awareness. There always has to be a new awareness, but I mean, even for us, there has to be a new awareness. And I'm just going to give you some scriptures right here. It's amazing how you can keep going back to the same scriptures over and over and over. But this is in Philippians. Chapter 3, and I'm going to start in verse 3. For we are the circumcision. We used to hear that quoted a whole lot. But I wonder if we realize what that means. And when I sing that we are the circumcision, I thought about, well, we're going to really cover that in our Sunday lesson, because that's Gilgal. That's where we are the circumcision. What Paul is saying is we are the church. That's just another way of saying it. We're the real Israel, because the real Israel is the real circumcision. We are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. And I'm going to go down to verse 8. Yea, doubtless, well, verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those things I counted loss for Christ. And he tells you those things that were counted gain to him right before. The circumcised, the eighth day, the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew, the Hebrew, touching the law, Pharisee. But yea, doubtless, that I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. I wonder if we think about those scriptures right there sometimes. It's hard to put it out there, but you know, to Paul, there was nothing more important. Nothing than the church. I'm not talking about the building. You know what I mean? There was nothing. That's why he said, I'd gladly be poured out for it. And I wonder, do we think about those things? How important it... come to the Lord, and I said this a few weeks ago, what ground are you presenting to the Lord? And I'm just going to throw this out there, okay? This just throwing this out there as food for thought. I know you realize this, but not always when you read scriptures are you going to see something. Sometimes it's just boring old reading. But you know what we have to do? We have to give the Lord something to work with. Because how many times have you read scriptures, got nothing out of it? A year later, boom, there it is. You got to give him something to work with. You see what I mean? So it's important to do that, right? Anyway, I just want to throw that out there. Verse 9, to be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. I mean, who could preach this? I want to know the fellowship of his suffering. My God, I was always taught, you know, you come in him, you know, you don't suffer no more. Now he prospers you and you get rich and, you know. The fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I'd already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I might apprehend or comprehend that for which I'm also apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended or comprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth into those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There's a high calling. A high calling. Now, I just want you to think about this. He was telling John, come up hither, come up hither, come up hither, and I'll show you things. Paul already says we're seated with him in heavenly places. We're already there, but there's a high calling. Let me say it this way. Israel... God had already given them the land of Canaan. All they had to do was go in. That's all they had to do. And everywhere the sole of your foot steps, I'll give it to you. But they wouldn't go in. And it was already. See, we're already seated with him, and there's a high calling to comprehend that if we'll just press on into that. Into that mark. I'm telling you what, guys, I know this. I mean, do you believe this, that if the Apostle Peter was here today, people would gather out to hear him preach? Or Paul, or whatever. You know they would. I mean, if the real deal. But who cares nowadays, right? No power. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. It's a challenge for us to reach a new place. How did we start off this verse? And thou shalt make. Listen, even when the Lord's people was in the right way, there was a constant urge for them to go on. Constant urge. They were never to be stagnant. You know what water stagnant is? It's a stinky bog, a swamp. It's always moving. Always move on. He's constantly creating a sense of need to reach some position, some awareness which has not yet been reached. It's a hunger. A thirst, as Denise told me this week, and a salt. You know, we used to put salt out there for the cows. They'd lick the salt to make them drink water, make them thirsty. Jesus sitting on the well, the woman come down there to draw water. She was thirsty. You don't go to water unless you're thirsty. You know, it's almost a challenge. Do we make people thirsty? I mean, Jesus made people thirsty without even opening his mouth. When he walked in, the smell made people thirsty. And let me tell you something. With this call to a higher place, call to a higher awareness, call to a higher comprehension, it carries with it a good deal of trouble, suffering, trial, but it's a very healthy sign. An unhealthy sign is you settle down in your spiritual position, you know, that's very unhealthy. Just, you know, how many, I think we got to challenge ourselves on that. I mean, do we really think we just got it all figured out? And I mean, you know, okay, well, here's what church is, and let's go do this, and let's get on with it. My gosh, you know, every time, I, when the Lord starts dealing with me, I'll just get hung up on a word, and I'll just think, it's almost like, here's a good way to look at it. I'll get a view from a distance, and I can handle the distant view. But as he draws me in closer, the details overwhelm me. You know what I mean? Like I can look back at this house and I can see it and, oh, it's a beautiful house. And he brings me up close and there's details just rack my brain and I almost go, oh, Lord, I can't, you know, I'm not ready for that yet. So you see the difference. And it's, I mean, there's such a need and a challenge, and it leads to heart searching. That heart searching leads to a reaching out to the Lord. And it may lead to adjustments. It may lead to corrections for what may be wrong or even false. And it will lead to a clarifying of our awareness. You know, I think you have to come to that. How many... You don't know how many scriptures I was locked in on and just knew until I saw the Lord. And then I realized, my Lord, almost ashamed for preaching it for so long. And you know, got to go make some apologies. You know, I'm going to tell you, so steadfast in it, I would have fought you over it. Probably did. Would have died for it. And just being plumb false. I don't know how or how you could put it. But this challenge, and it will or should lead us to a place where we say, what is this all about? What does he mean by this? What has he called us to? You ever wonder that? Why are we here? Why are we here in this little, you know, in this little place, a few of us gathered out, why is he revealing this stuff unto us? It's got to be a purpose in it. What's it for? Now, this is a hunger that we reach out more for. And to discover that will be a good deal of the explanation of the Lord's dealings with us. What do I mean by that? I just go back and I'm looking at my history, my mind of being, you know, I could trace this thing all the way back if you want, but I could give you this in a nutshell. You know, I'm thinking of what I went through in Indiana, and which is really kind of irrelevant, but there in the floor in a bedroom was where I cried out to the Lord. Man, I was done. You know, I was at the end. I was done. And then I go to North Carolina, and I started going to this great big First Baptist church down there. And, man, it was huge, and hundreds of people, you know. The preacher was a doctor, and, you know, all this other stuff. So I started going to their Sunday school classes, and I'm going to tell you what. I went to my age group, and I was hungry, and they didn't have a thing for me, so I didn't go. I went to the, you just had to excuse me, I went to the old people's class. I thought, surely they got something going on. This over here is candy stuff, you know. I don't want no cotton candy. I want some meat. I went there and I started asking questions, and you know, after about three Wednesdays, the old preacher says, you know, I think we're not going to do questions anymore. And I knew where that was going. And you know, so then I started driving back up here, and I was just hungry, and I thought I'd found my place. Okay, you know, back home, and I was just, but it wasn't long. But I was just hungry. And finally, when I got done, and I'd seen all that, I just quit. And I said, well, I'll just go over here in Baptist Valley, and I'll just sit back here in the back and just be quiet. And I did that for about a year and a half. Then I started going up in the valley, and everywhere I went was trouble. So y'all look out. And I know how it could seem, you know. And I look back and I think, well, everywhere I go is trouble. What's the common cause here? Me. And I know what it is. I'm looking for something. I'm wanting answers. I'm hungry. I don't know what for. I'm going to be expecting you to provide it for me, and you couldn't. So it just caused a controversy. And I understand now. I'm not blaming those people. I was trying to draw something from them that they didn't have. And that causes trouble. You know? I mean, that just shows you're in debt. And you know. So I don't blame any of that. But, you know, that led us to up there in Baptist Valley. And at the same time, the Lord was working you guys over. You know, if everything would have been hunky-dory, you'd still be sitting back down there, and I'd be doing where I was, glad to be where he is, but he drew us out. And, you know, with it, and I'll just have to tell you, came a lot of pain and suffering, did it not? There is no birth without pain. I'm just telling you the truth of the matter. There's no birth without pain. It's the travail. There really is. I mean, when the Lord first revealed himself to me, my first thought was, they're going to think I'm crazy. They're really going to think I'm crazy. And I thought myself, maybe I am crazy. Maybe I made it up. Maybe I hallucinated it. You know? But then he brings in that confirmation. So then you start thinking, well, why am I here? What purpose do I have to do? Just start a church. Guys, if that's all it was, we're wasting our time. Because he's got enough of them on every corner. You don't need that. So there's something else. That's why we're in this candlestick. Because it's so important. Thou shalt make. You see, when we begin to understand this, maybe we can understand, begin to explain some of the Lord's dealings with us. Why did he bring these people in our life? Because it's almost like he brought dogs in to drive the sheep this way and that way. Really? Because you wouldn't go without it. You really wouldn't. He's got to have somebody nipping you on the heels to get you to go here or there. And to help us to get right into line with what's essential. Because, you know, we bring a lot of extra stuff in that's useless, that just needs to be cut away and cut off. And, you know, we say traditions, but guys, traditions, let me say traditions ain't as much as what we do, it's what we believe. It's what we grew up in, how we was raised. And we're all full of them. But there's a challenge here. Thou shalt make. There's a challenge for us to produce it, to have the thing in us as a reality, as a truth. What do you mean, thou shalt make? I'm always looking at Old Testament words, trying to bring them over into the New Testament to see what it is. And thou shalt make. I know this ain't a thing of works, okay? I'm not saying, okay, we go in. Just like they did in the Old Testament. They didn't have to do anything except walk in it. Walk in the light as he is in the light. They had to walk in it. What do you mean? Well, Paul would say it this way. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. So there is something on your part of letting, of walking of apprehending, of comprehending. There is something on our part to do, not works-wise. You understand the difference. But I want to look at this candlestick. I want to look at this candlestick in three aspects. Its function, its character, its form. First, we're going to look at its function. Now, always keep in mind the location of this candlestick. This location is right between the kingdom and the priesthood, and golden oil is always flowing into it, but it has a function. What is the function of the candlestick? The function is, very simply, to give light. That's all this candlestick does, is give light. It's not to be an ornament. It's not to be a pretty thing to look at, some mystical symbolism to interest people and fascinate people. It's just there to give light. Just there to give light. Now, let's go over to Revelation here and look. Because I want to look at the location of this right here. Revelation 12 and 13. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one likened unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his feet. Well, just let me stop right there. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one likened unto the Son of Man. As the Lord began to speak, what issued out was this: for every church, seven golden candlesticks, one question which their very existence depended of these churches was the function of the candlestick. I mean, many things are noted in here. I mean, you can go read them. The deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I hate, and you could just read this all through. There's many things noted, but one vital thing for these seven churches, and in the midst of the seven churches, the Son of Man, one vital thing was the light. The Lord said these churches had no justification for continuing their existence except on the ground of the function of the candlestick. Look right there. He said, I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. I mean, let me start in verse 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against heaven, chapter 2, verse 4. Because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen. What did they fall from? They left their first love. First love, first. My God, I've heard this preached a thousand different ways, you know, and you know, your first love, that's when you was baptized and you used to really like the church, and now you don't care much for it. You know, a whole bunch of crazy stuff. But first love. Remember therefore from which thou fallest, and repent and do the first works. You reckon that had anything to do with first love? Or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. When this thing becomes simply a candlestick and not a light giver. Now let me say this. True light is an impact. It has an impact. True light has an impact. Such an impact that anything that is contrary to it cannot stay there. Anything contrary to true light cannot stay there. Can't coexist there. Darkness and light. They can't find in the same place. One of them has to go. And that is the proof that it is divine light. That's why wherever Jesus came, nothing stayed the same. The poor in spirit rushed to him, and the rich in religion wanted to crucify him. It didn't matter. When he went into towns, they sought to throw him headlong over the hill. They sought to stone him, cast him out. He came and cast out the devils out of these plants into 70 pigs, run them down the hill. They don't want him in their town no more. Now think about that. I've always wondered that. I thought, well, my God, I mean, even in your natural mind, if he came in and healed this devil-possessed guy, I would say, hey, now wait a minute, you know, I got some arthritis and we got some diabetes over here and some kidney problems. Come on over here. They said, nah, we'll keep the devils. We don't need this cat around. Right? Men love darkness. And you know what? Coming out of darkness, which he brings us out of darkness, he's brought us out of darkness, but we got to comprehend that. You know, it's like, I remember being in boot camp, and you know, when he would say, get up, get out of rack, get out of rack, and he would turn that light on, and you know, you've been there in the pitch black dark, and as soon as that light comes on, you got to shade your eyes. Or if you've been in a dark room and you go outside, you can't bear that light. I'm talking divine light. And you know, we're the same way. When he, you know, it's like I said, I can see it from a distance, but when he draws me in close, I'm thinking, whoo, that's too bright. I can't handle that. I'm not ready for it. That's why we always gotta keep coming on. See, the witness of this candlestick is not the giving of a lot of information. It's not facts or statements, doctrines, and truths. And it's so easy to degenerate into that. My God, we almost started out with them statements and beliefs and all that other stuff. I'm glad we know in whom we believe. You know? But we want to lock ourselves in. Here's what we believe. My God, how much that would have changed in a year and a half. And it's so easy to generate just into words and into ideas. And you know, we come up with our ideas. Here's what the church should do. Here's what we should be. And that's one of the challenges to the seven churches. I mean, listen to this. They had their orthodox teachings here, these churches of Philadelphia and Ephesus and Smyrna and Sardis and, you know, Thyatira, Laodicea. They had their teachings. They had their belief systems. And they would have laid down their lives for them, for this truth or that truth, just like we would. They hated certain things that weren't sound. They hated the deeds of the Nicolaitans, and, you know, they hated these certain things. But the trouble was, no impact. The impact had gone. Now, let me say this. The surrounding darkness was not provoked or challenged by the presence of the church. Now listen to what I'm telling you here. The real church, which is real divine light being poured in by the golden oil, set there as a light, these other things weren't even provoked. I mean, the kingdom of darkness wasn't even made aware that there was something to take an account of. And like I said, this is not intended to be a word of judgment or criticism. I just want us to think about these things. Because, you know, we got to think, what has he called us to? What are we here for? I mean, did he call us into this area because this area is just a great area to live in and everybody loves everybody and, you know, this is one of the safest places around. There's no drugs, there's no alcohol, and there's no you know, spousal abuse, and you know, the kids all have great parents, and you know, so he's just called us to this area so that we can all be happy clowns and go through life. And I think there's a reason. And you know, this may explain a lot of the Lord's dealing with us. And I'm going to tell you, it creates in us a deep sense of a new position, a new awareness. I remember when I got up out of the floor, when the Lord got me up there in Indiana, and I was in a mess up there. I mean, it was a mess. I could go through the details, but that's irrelevant. In me at that moment was something deep planted that everywhere I looked, I started going to church up there. I went to Lutheran Church. I went to every denomination they had up there. I went to every one of them. I was looking. I was hungry. And I seen all this stuff that was going on. The Lord really let me see the misery of people. I don't care how much they smiled, how much money they had in the bank, how much they spent on Lake Michigan at the beach every weekend, and flew around in their jets on the helicopters with Oprah Winfrey. They were flat miserable. So then I went to Charlotte and I said, well, I'm going back down south. It'll be different. Miserable. My office was right beside of the homeless shelter. Miserable. I went downtown. We went into some dinners and stuff in some, you know, with the railroad, some big wigs down there. And I just seen these people. I seen their nervousness. I just seen it. Miserable. Flat miserable. When I went to that big church down there, I'm looking at these people. Miserable. I come back up here and go to my home church, and I'm looking at these people. Miserable. Every one of them miserable. And me, I'm coming out of it. But that I feel the need, but absolutely helpless to do anything. I tried to start two or three websites. I tried all kinds of things. God was letting me do those things. Because, man, I'm not Paul, but I was like, okay, well, while I'm waiting, I'm going to try this. Well, this wouldn't work. All right, well, I'm going to try this. Well, this wouldn't work either. Well, it just didn't deter me. And I'm going to go try this, and I'm going to try this. Because there was something in there, born out of that suffering, still goes on to this day. I mean, it's like I can see people suffering. And, you know their only help is Christ. That's it. Coming to the cross. That's their only out. That's the only door open. There's no other doors open. All other doors are closed, nailed shut, done. And I think, Lord, how do we get them to come this way? They don't have to come here and sit here, but how do we get them to come to Christ? Because it's just His body is everywhere. How do we even get what's called His body to turn to Him? Light. There's light. Light causes a division. It always does, always will. It just flat causes a division between light and darkness when it comes in. I mean, if we want to have an impact, thou shalt make a candlestick of pure gold. This candlestick has one purpose, that is to give light. And you know, we've tried to look at our position. I know I have it, our position in the Lord, in the church, or whatever. We've tried to weigh our position from a standpoint of our beliefs, doctrines, our teachings. We're farther along than this one. We're climbed up higher on the ladder than this one. I went through all those things, you know. We used to talk, well, they're in the outer court, and we're over here. No. We're all raised up. We're in the same spot. We're in the same, everyone that's come into Christ has been raised up and seated with Him. Now, you might not apprehend that. You might have closed your eyes to the light. Nobody may have never even told you. where you're at. I tried to look at it from my beliefs, and I thought, well, my beliefs will do the deal. Man, because we used to go to funerals and we'd look around and we'd say, our beliefs is better than yours. Why is that? Because I can get more people into heaven than you. So that means, you know what I mean? So we compared. Everything was comparison, you know. Whose beliefs better? Whose beliefs right? So we go about. But what is the effect of all that? I can tell you in one word. Division. That's all. That's all that does is bring division. But light from God's standpoint is a mighty impact. Let me just tell you how the scriptures start. It's amazing here. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw the light. What, remember I said Sunday, what does God see? God sees the light. That's what God sees, is light. That's God's vision, is light. And it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. I don't even have to read anymore. God sees the light. These churches in Asia here were challenged on the ground, not of what they believed, not of what they taught, but the effect of their position against the powers of darkness. Because was not every one of them challenged? Every one. Did God, I mean, is there any of them? He said, man, whew. Everyone had to stand against something. Every single one of them. I mean, five of them he had someone against them. Two of them he didn't. But still yet they had to stand against something. They're going to be thrown in prison. They're going to be put to death. They're what was dead. The effect of their position against the power of darkness. Remember, what do you mean? Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. How could you stand except for the golden oil that pours into the golden candlestick? So what is this light? I'm going to tell you what this light is. Of course, we know it's Jesus Christ, but let me break this on down for you. It's the gospel. What do you mean the gospel? The gospel is the very heart and soul of God. The heart and soul of God revealed in His Son. And that will change your life. Let me read you some scriptures right here in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. Who also hath made us able ministers. Isn't it something that God will make you not just a minister, but an able minister of the New Testament? That word is covenant. Of the new covenant. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Now look at verse 9. For the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. Remember, Paul's made an able minister of this, of righteousness. But, and you can go on and read this, but their minds were blinded. For unto this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. Their minds were blinded. Now keep in mind, their minds were blinded. They couldn't steadfastly look to the end that was abolished. They put a veil over his face. Their minds were blinded. Now, the Lord is that Spirit, and when the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. My God, that's what I wanted to see in these people. I wanted to see on me, okay, I mean, he started working this thing out. Man, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And I thought, as soon as I learned enough scriptures, I was going to be free. Well, the Lord had a long dealing with me on that, and I realized, for one, I didn't even know what freedom was. How could I know what freedom was? How could I even know what freedom was? Well, I thought, well, that meant I'm, you know, and the first thing that I started to do with freedom was, that means I'm free from the law. Right? I mean, that's where we're going to go with it every time in our religious mind. We're free from the law. Oh, no, 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 contrary. There's another law in place. It's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. This is a law that's constrained you even more than the Ten Commandments ever thought about doing. But, I mean, that's where we go with it. I'm free. I'm free. You know, I don't have to keep the Ten Commandments anymore. And, you know, they were just commandments to me. I didn't know that a law was going to be written in my heart. So still yet, I had no idea what freedom was. And I'm looking around at these people, and I know every one of them is scared to death. They're all scared to death of the same exact thing. It just manifests in different. They're all scared. Paul sums it up in Hebrews, the fear of death. And it just manifests in all these different ways. And then I read the scripture. And, you know, I'm just reading. I just remember riding in my papa's boat going fishing over South Holston. We're just riding. And all of a sudden, whoo, you stop. I don't know if you guys know what I'm talking about. You're riding. When you stop, you just kind of still want to go forward in the boat. And I'm just reading, and I'm reading and waiting. And I read this scripture that said, he that is dead is freed. And I didn't even see the rest of it. I just, you know, the boat stopped. Ooh. I thought, my Lord, if you want freedom, it's going to cost you your life. No, wait a minute. I didn't understand all that stuff. But the Lord began, you know, dealing with me. And I'm seeing that. They're scared of death. Everybody that is alive is scared of death. But once you're dead, it has no more power over you. He delivered them who were all their lifetime subject to bondage, subject to this fear, through death. Here's this open door. Again, it's called the cross. It's called Christ. There's liberty. Let me keep going. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Remember this golden oil that's poured right into there. Even as the Spirit of the Lord are changed into the same image. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Why wouldn't he faint? Remember, we're challenged to press on. He's not fainting by the way. Man, I got to do, I'm right where I want to be. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Why would he do that? He was an able minister. God made him an able minister. How did he do that? By revealing his son in him. I won't go through all of it. I'm looking for something. Remember, I'm talking to you about the gospel here. By manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them. Now wait a minute. We just read over here their minds were blinded. And we see that they put a veil on their self. Now wait a minute. Here we got the god of this world. Who's the god of this world? Well, let me tell you who the god of your world is. You. And you will always blind your mind. You will always step out in front of the Lord. You always will. Why do I say that? Because it's your nature. It was born in you. Guys, I'm going to tell you why. We started off with little kids. And what do we do with them? And what do little kids want? The center of attention. You give them 30 seconds and they'll be right here dancing. And they'll say, look at me. Why? And we do the same thing in whatever way it is. If it's playing football, if it's fishing, if it's making a daggone quilt. We want to be the center of attention. And we do it in a lot of subtle ways. But still yet, we do it. In whom the god of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Now listen to this. The light of the glorious gospel gospel of Christ, who is the image of God. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sakes. For God, who commanded the light to shine not into darkness, but out of darkness, this place right here we're talking about is the holiest of all, in the very dark place where there's no natural light, light shines out from there, not into there, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And guess what? We have this treasure in earthen vessels. You see what I'm talking about? Now do you see the light that this candle has, this glorious gospel? Now, I'm gonna bring this around to you. What does it light up? What is it bringing to bear? What is it lighting up? What does it light up? What does it make clear with an impact? It makes clear with an impact. I'm going to give you a few things. It makes clear the eternal holiness of God. What do you mean? It's brought right into the midst of the church in the person of the Son of Man. And where is he? Right slap dab in the middle of it all. The light lights him up, doesn't it? All the candles are around, and what are they doing? Because he's right in the middle. He's right in the middle. Now, let me go back to Revelation here. I just want to show you something here. I just want to show you. Book of Revelation. I turned to see the voice that spake with me being turned. I saw seven golden candlesticks in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one likened to the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his feet, girt about the paps with a golden girdle, his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. Let me just say that. His head and his hair, white like wool. Who is he talking about right here? This is the same one Daniel sees. The same one Daniel sees, and Daniel calls him the Ancient of Days. You realize the Ancient of Days is standing right in the midst? What do you mean, Ancient of Days? This means timelessness. That means all time compassed in him. The fullness of time is standing right in the middle of the church is still waiting on some glad day, and the day is standing right in the midst. But they can't see it because there's no light. There's no gospel. See what I mean? Because we're trying to hide that. You don't light a candle and put it under a basket. You set it on a pole for the whole house to be lit and to be seen. So here he is, utter holiness, utter purity, standing right there. Everything is being brought to judgment before him. Remember, you go read the book of Daniel, you'll see this Ancient of Days, and you can read about what he brought. He brought judgment. All things are being dealt with and challenged on the ground of his eternal holiness. The candlestick, the lampstand, brings that testimony to light with impact. Thou shalt make a candlestick of pure gold. What this amounts to is where God is going to have an impact, where God is going to have what he wants. Holiness is going to be an impact upon unholiness. Now, as we said before, and I won't go through all the definitions, but we saw a glimpse of holiness being the oneness of the Father. What is the church full of today? Division. No holiness. Because holiness, think of it, whole oneness. We went over this over and over and over and over. So light is going to declare oneness, holiness. Now, as soon as you bring your beliefs into it, we just divided. Promise you, we just divided. Because I don't believe the same thing Clyde, I don't believe the same thing Oakley does. And now we got to go. Right? So all y'all that like me come my way, all y'all like Clyde go that way, all y'all like go that way. We got three more churches, so we just started. No holiness, no impact. This is where responsibility comes in. Things have to be dealt with. Actual power over darkness. I mean, do you believe Paul had power over darkness? That God had? Absolutely. But what do we do here? I mean, Paul didn't even have to. I just think about these things, guys. I know these are trivial. They were small things. You know, Paul says, all right, Clyde, here, you got kidney stones. Here. He did that. Right? Lord, we can get everybody around, jump up and down, and nothing. No power. No holiness. I'm just telling you the truth, guys. No holiness, no power, no impact. See, this is where responsibility comes in on our end. We can play church, be like everybody else, or thou shalt make a candlestick. You know, we can get right down to being serious about it. And I'm going to tell you how important this is. We can learn from the scriptures that one unholiness can stop the whole nation. You remember we talked about the word arrested? We've seen that in the two that brought the money, Ananias and Sapphira. I see a whole nation here going into the land, crossing over Jordan. The walls of Jericho just fell down. Nobody has seen a nation like Israel. They didn't even have swords. They walked around with trumpets and walls fell down. Nations bowed at their feet. And Achan, one guy, gets a little gold, gets a little silver, gets a little Babylonian garment, hides it in his tent, and now this nation is useless. One guy stopped the whole nation. You see how important it is? That's why a lot in big churches, if you will, big congregations, people go there to hide. They do. No responsibility. But we can't have that in this body. And you do realize in this body that God made every part to serve a purpose. Everyone. I mean, yeah, you know, they might not even know what they do, but it's all there for a purpose, every single one of them. And let me tell you something. If one goes down on you, you know what, guys? I didn't know what a gallbladder was until I had a stone. And I learned real quick what I had and what wasn't functioning right, and it was on. You know what I mean? Holiness has tremendous power. And there is to be the light of that holiness present, making itself felt. Let me ask you something. Was the darkness felt down in Egypt? So thick that it could be felt. When Jesus walked around and when these apostles walked around, the light could be felt. Before a sermon was ever preached, before they opened their mouth, it could be felt. Let me throw something out at you. Y'all know we had some visitors our Sunday. And it was one lady that was impressed above all. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you who it was, too, because I'm just so thankful for her. You wouldn't even think this. But this lady made such an impact on her life. She didn't even know who she was. And upon further investigation, it was Cindy. Cindy, they can't even talk. She said, "My Lord." She said, "That girl has got a heart as big as a world. She just loves on you." And you know what? She can't even speak a word. You see, that's impact. That's just flat light right there, buddy. That, you know, can't even open her mouth. I thought, wow. You wasn't impressed with my preaching? I just can't tell that part. But you know what I mean? I mean, I'm just thinking, my God, what I mean? I mean, that's ministry right there. That is true impact ministry right there, buddy. I mean, that's just a gift, you know. I mean, and what a wonder it is to have her here. Sometimes I think, man, maybe we should just step back and learn.
Yeah.
And just learn. Now, I want you to look at something right here. He's clothed with a garment down to his foot, girt about the paps with a golden girdle. This is the light of the strong love of God. The girdle speaks of strength and strength into action. And the breast speaks of the affections or the seat of love. He's girt about with a mighty strength of divine love right in the midst of the candlestick. That's his impact, the strength of divine love. We've been waiting for him to fill us with that love, ain't we? And we all been waiting, you know, for God to fill us with that. But there's another side to this coin. And the other side to this coin is thou shalt make it. Now that's a tough one right there. And you know what? We gotta face these matters, because what keeps us from seeing him? We have found out it is us that keeps us from seeing him. So it's almost, again, goes back to what kind of ground do you present to the Lord? Are you willing, as Paul said, to count it all loss? To just, it don't matter. There's nothing else more important. Now let me tell you another one. At his feet like fine brass, they burned in his furnace. Feet like brass speaks of strength, also righteousness, and the feet speaks of his going, his ways. It speaks of his activities. Now, I'm going to bring this thing in. Satan's one inclusive object is to take from God what are his rights. Unrighteousness in its roots and nature is taking away another's rights. See, we use the term righteousness, but do we really know what righteousness means? I'm talking about rights here. When you rob your brother, I'm using the term brother, guys, because this is in the church. We're those outside of the church that ain't filled with the Spirit, we're to have no company with. I'm just telling you the truth. We're to be a light. And when you rob your brother of his rights, you're robbing God. When you've done it to the least of these, you've done it unto me. Now, we talk about wanting getting a cold cup of water, and we're doing all these things, but we rob each other of our rights. That's why when Jesus comes into the house, where does he sit? Who has all rights? He always sits in the back, because he wouldn't rob you of nothing. He's going to sit there until he's invited up. Right? He's going to go to sleep on your boat until you're back there awakening him. Now, he's the King of Kings. He has all rights, all authorities given to him, but he won't exercise. But boy, we do. You don't offend me. God, I've heard these terms in the church. I mean, you better not offend me, you know. And I got rights, you know. So very often we have to sacrifice our rights in order that the Lord should be honored. I have realized more and more so here lately that I hear people talking, and where I used to jump in and correct all the time, I'm learning to keep mouth closed. Because all I do is just cause more division. I'm thinking, well, if the Lord is dealing with them, let it alone. When they want to come this way, be prepared to give it a, you know, maybe I should preach more like Cindy. No mouth and just love. And let that light do its work. Because it will. Love never fails. His love, you know. Because, you know, as men, it's in our nature. I don't know if you ladies know this, but men in our nature want to fix and correct everything that we come up on. I find myself saying, Zach, I need to wear your tie, your shoes. You're doing it all wrong. Well, Dad, I've been doing it for 10 years. I mean, yeah, everything. And I'll just catch myself, you know, wanting to fix and correct everything. I mean, that's what we do. And beliefs, all that. And like I said, when you rob your brother of his rights, you rob God. And if we'll track the matter of unrighteousness to the core, look at this. I mean, what does he say here? He says, fear not, I'm the first and the last. I'm he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. the Son of Man who was dead and is alive forevermore. Amen. Standing in the midst of the candlestick, he is the embodiment of that utter selfishness, which is utter righteousness. Does that make any sense? He is the embodiment of utter selflessness. Did I say it wrong? Selflessness. Now we're just talking about correcting. Right here. Where is my rights? I want my rights. Sometimes we need to be corrected because I didn't know I said it that way. But yeah, selflessness, which is utter righteousness. Which means that God has everything that is all his rights. And what did it cost the Son of Man? Everything. He says, look at my feet. There is the impact of utter selflessness. Right there. Now, here's where I'm going to stop. He says, I turn to see the voice that spake with me. People are hearing things, and they are turning to see. What do they see? Do they see a teaching? Or are they seeing a light? I'll stop right there. We'll continue on next week.